Y'all ready for this?
All right, so remember, two Sundays ago, Pastor Don talked about this journey of bounding joy and how it's this step by step, we move forward, and our joy, where it comes from, who it comes from, and how it's different than happiness. And I get from that, I get the idea that it's actually a journey, and a journey is about moving forward. Okay. It's about walking. It's about facing challenges. It's not something that can happen in a day or overnight. It's a long time. It's a process. And it would be, in essence, becoming like a journeyman, you know, where it takes time to learn a craft, a trade, and all those different technical things that would go along with it. And so I had sent a text to Pastor Don, and I said, you know, this journey of bounding joy, you know, I think, how about this journey of bounding hope and peace and love? And it would be like Christmas, Advent in August. And he said, that's a great idea. You can do the next three. Make it a series. I'm like, oh, I should have kept my mouth shut. No, or kept my fingers from moving on the phone. I guess would be more apt. So last week we talked about this journey of bounding hope. And finished up with the psalm that said, my hope comes from Him, meaning God. It's a gift from Him. It's not anything that we have to drum up in ourselves to say, all right, I'm just going to hope. I'm going to hope. It comes from Him. And someone made a comment about trust, you know, that they don't really have hope. It's more like trust. But it starts with hope. And the more we find our hope in Him and from Him, as it builds, we become to trust Him. We come to trust Him more and more. And like it says elsewhere in the Bible, we possess these qualities, the love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, in ever-increasing measure. It grows. It becomes stronger. So today we're going to talk about this journey of bounding peace. And when we think of this word peace, some things that come to mind for me is the old peace sign, the V for victory, peace. Peace in our time. People flashing the peace sign. I got one hand in my pocket and the other hand's flashing a peace sign. I think of the peace sign, which is, you know, the circle with the chicken foot in the circle.
The wide.
What's that?
The wide.
Yeah. It's a chicken foot. Mm-hmm. I think of Give Peace a Chance. The John Lennon song, Give Peace a Chance. I think of the common mantra, the chant of no justice, no peace. And when I hear that, I hear it like K-N-O-W. No justice, no peace. But peace. What are some ideas apart from the Bible that we may have regarding peace? What do you guys think? What is peace? Not thinking about what the Bible might say.
Sense of well-being.
Well-being. Anybody?
What? It's a lack of the opposite. It's a lack of emotionally.
So you're not erratic in your behavior. You're not having panic attacks, anxiety, that sort of thing. It's okay. Anybody else?
Feeling safe.
Feeling safe.
Something that we don't enjoy enough. Just saying.
Anybody else? Peace. What might come to mind?
A sense of calm.
Sense of calm. A lot of times when I think of this idea of peace, apart from the Bible again, is the absence of conflict.
Right.
To go along with stillness, still water. And of course, here comes the Merriam-Webster definition. That's the time killer for me. Merriam-Webster, this is from a secular standpoint of peace. It's the freedom from civil disobedience or civil disturbance. Peace and order were finally restored in the town. We see a lot of that going on where there's conflict in the middle of cities in our country and indeed around the world. Acts of terror, protesting this and that and the other thing, and unrest for whatever reason. People have the mob mentality and have to go out and do their protesting. Peace is a state of security or order within a community provided by law. It's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. It's harmony in our personal relationships. A state of a pact or agreement to end hostility. You know, we think of belligerence, we think of, you know, peace or war. You know, the opposite of peace is war. We want to have some kind of a relative peace between us and other nations. It's also a, sometimes it's a greeting. You know, peace, brother. Peace, man, peace. You know, saying, you know, hey, peace, you know, when you're leaving. But let's look at what the Bible has to say. In Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, it should be pretty familiar with most of us, right?
Yes.
Psalm 23, anybody know how it starts? Okay, keep going. Still waters, there you go. He leads me beside still waters, quiet waters, peaceful waters. He takes us to a place as his sheep, to a place of peace, a place of comfort,
yes,
a place where provision is made. Even though there are wolves out there who are looking for our demise to become food, we're thirsty, we're hungry. He brings us to a place. It talks about we're going to be in the presence of our enemies. They're going to be around us. But we are with him. He is with us in the end of that song. He makes me lie down. He doesn't like force us down. He gives us this sense of peace and calm to where we know, you know what, we don't have to be ready to run.
Right.
We don't have to be ready to run right now in him. Even thinking back, you know, to the situational awareness, we know we are with God, and that's where our peace comes. So on the inside, we know we don't have to fear what is coming against us in the spiritual realm. Or in the physical. You know, whatever's going on, we just find our peace and rest in him. We don't have to run and hide from that stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and I should have done this before, but I was too busy talking like I do. Let's see. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up the Bible on my telephone, on the app. I don't know if you guys know you can get an app on your phone that you can actually read the Bible on your phone. I just think it's incredible. So I'm going to look up Acts chapter 6 here. And this is a great story. And I'm just going to read the majority of Acts chapter 6 for you. I want you to think about this. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. Those were those who had Greek upbringing. They had Greek ideas. Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. So you have these Hellenistic Jews more or less grafted in, who had become Jews, and they still had their Greek tradition and ideas and thought, and they were fighting between them and the natural-born Jews. It was this kind of an immigrant, native-born struggle going on. But a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. It was a complaint. That means there wasn't peace. There was unrest. because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select among you 7 men of a good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They chose this man, Stephen, and this is who I want to focus on. "And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them. The word of God kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem." In verse 8 of Acts chapter 6, it says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen." Here was this man who was chosen. They laid hands on him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And they saw power in him. He could handle the word. He knew how to teach. But there was this group who came against him and challenged him. I think they came looking for a fight. They came to sow division and confusion and trouble as this man was speaking. He was there to teach. He was there to give of himself. And people came in just to cause trouble. "Full of grace and power, Stephen was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men rose up and argued with him. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." They just couldn't come. They couldn't find their place to come in coming against him to bring him down, to silence him, to make him run away. "Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.'" The only way that they could come against this guy was to make up a story. Was to lie.
Yep.
That's the only way that they could come against Stephen. "Then they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council." So they drummed up these charges, they went and arrested him, and they took him before their leadership, before the legal people. "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law." Incessantly. He's out there saying all this stuff. He's a madman. We don't need him. He's stirring the people up. He's lying. "For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." They wanted to keep on with the status quo. They didn't want to see anything change. They were in a position of power amongst the people, and they didn't want to see that go to this new group that was rising up. Whether he was really the Messiah or not, that's an addition. "And fixing their gaze on him, they all looked at Stephen, who was being falsely accused after doing all these things. And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel."
Yeah. Wow.
And then quickly go into chapter 7. The high priest begins to question Stephen, and Stephen answers. He tells him what he's doing. He said, "This comes from God. The Messiah is real."
Yeah.
And he begins to quote scripture to these people of the council. He gives his testimony. He shares the gospel with these people. He relates the entire story. From Moses on up to the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He tells the whole story. And then he goes in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to 60. These men were listening to Stephen's testimony, listening to the word of God as he was declaring, as he was sharing who the Messiah was and that he had come, and all these signs that were listed in the Old Testament. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, it says, "Now when they heard this," when they heard the testimony, "they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him." They were PO'd.
Yes.
They were really upset. "You're spilling the beans, man. You're going to destroy everything. You're going to overturn everything that's going on in Jerusalem, in our little source, in our place of power. You're here to stir it all up." It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him." They were getting angry. "But being full of the Holy Spirit, he," Stephen, "gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God."
Yeah.
"And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse." I picture them going, you know, "La, la, 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 la. We're not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're speaking this truth and we don't want to hear it. My virgin ears." And they rushed at him. Stephen told them what he saw. While they were saying these things against him, while he was giving the gospel message, he wasn't shaking. He wasn't scared. He wasn't making something up or saying, "I won't do it again, I promise. I won't say anything else." He saw, he fixed his eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. That was where his gaze was. He was at peace when he saw Jesus at the right hand of God.
Right.
Even while these guys are doing this. It says, "When they had driven him out of the city," it doesn't mean like they put him in the back of the Acura and went and drove him out of the city. I'm laughing on the inside because I think that's funny to me. So, "When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would become Paul." Here's this guy watching the stone. He's taking care of the coats. The little coat check guy, you know, behind the counter writing off the tickets. Here you go. Yeah, come back and get it when you're done. These guys weren't just picking up stones and throwing them. They were ready for a fight. They were getting freed of those things that held them back. It's like when guys are at a bar and there's going to be a fight and they take off their coats, they take off their vests, whatever, just to be free. They want to be able to fling those rocks. They want to be able to just let them go, whip them. "They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." He had his eyes fixed on the author and finisher of the faith. According to this account, he wasn't yelling and screaming and saying, "No, don't, please stop. Stop, I'm sorry, I won't do it again." He kept his eyes on Jesus. He had peace. He had a abounding peace. One that was free and that was growing because he spoke the word, because he did the challenge. He was without fear.
Right.
And I don't know about y'all, but when I first came to know the Lord, when I really came to know him, was in the mid-80s. And during that time, it was a continuance of this idea of the rapture, that Jesus could come back at any moment. And there were going to be these great challenges to Christians. And how, you know, there was going to be the mark of the beast and, you know, the mark on your hand and all these different things. And how in Revelation it talks about believers being executed for their faith, being beheaded. being killed for their faith. And we'd sit around and we'd talk about that, and it's like, well, what if somebody held a gun to your head? What would you do? And it's like, oh, I wouldn't denounce Jesus. I'd go ahead and take the mark, or I wouldn't take the mark, and I'd let them chop my head off. I'm, you know, kind of like Peter said, you know, we're not going to deny you. I won't deny you. Everybody else might, but I'm not going to. We would, you know, have these puffed up chests thinking, yeah, we're not going to do this. And I know that, you know, I'd probably be peeing my pants and crying like a baby, you know, in reality.
Right.
But here's Stephen being persecuted for the faith in reality. And he's doing what I would hope I would be able to do. Even halfway. I'm not there yet. You know, so we're on this journey of bounding peace. We're learning to trust in him.
Yes.
To be led by the still waters. To listen to the voice of the shepherd. To be able to lie down in the presence of our enemies. In the midst of trouble around us.
Yes, Lord.
We've talked briefly about this word shalom. In the Bible, peace predominantly is the word shalom that's used. Or some variants of that word. And I'm going to read through a little bit of this definition of shalom. Shalom is a condition of freedom from disturbance, whether outwardly or inwardly. The Hebrew word is shalom, meaning primarily soundness and health, but also coming to signify prosperity, well-being in general, all good in relation to both man and God. It's not just an absence from conflict. It's this sense of well-being spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, being at peace. As far as it depends on you, the Bible says, be at peace with all men. We can't control what others do. We can only, through the Holy Spirit, have self-control. And do what we can do to be at peace with all men. It's difficult for some of us. Because I want to fight. I'm looking for the fight. I'm looking for the argument. But lately, it's been, no, I don't want to talk about this. I need to go away. Let's not fight.
Yeah.
And there's one person in particular that keeps coming at my face. And it's, no. Now is not a good time. Now is not a good time. Driving habits have changed. No longer am I saying, let's pull over, buddy, and dance. You know? Steve Smith would talk about my Dr. Pepper bottle, or my, you know, my coffee mug, tossing it at somebody's windshield on the interstate. Because, you know, I was talking to him about anger. He's like, what do we do? What do we do? And it's like, yeah, when you figure it out, tell me, because I have a massive trouble with that. I shouldn't have said anything, because now everybody is like, oh my gosh, Goofy Ducks was perfect. Right? You're like,
so you're willing to correct my email.
Yeah, that was me. I apologize. Had I known it was you.
Yeah, remember dancing.
Dancing.
We can see that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It'll be a quick two-step.
I was going to say, it'd be short.
Oh. Prosperity, well-being in general. Another one, shalom was the common friendly greeting used in asking after the health of anyone, also in farewell. So you would say, how are you doing? And they would, you know, well, this is what's going on with me. Well, shalom, peace in that situation, peace within, peace around you. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of scriptures. Is it well with you? Peace be to you. How's your welfare? What are you doing? Another one, peace from enemies, implying prosperity, was the great desire of the nation and was the gift of God to the people if they walked in his ways. So they wanted to have shalom between the other nations. They wanted to have a peace so that their prosperity would increase. They would be a prosperous nation, that their crops would not fail, their cattle would grow and be healthy. They would have children, copious amounts of children, that they would be blessed. And that peace, that shalom, again, is a gift from God. Our peace comes from Him. Just like our joy is in the Lord. Joy comes from Him. Hope comes from Him.
Yeah.
Peace as well. And next week we'll talk about love. And I don't know if you can guess where love comes from. Inward peace was the portion of the righteous who trusted in God. So when we trust in Him, when we hope in Him, when our faith is in Him, we get peace. And it can increase. It can grow. We can have more peace over time because we've seen Him. We've seen Him work in our lives before. And in this situation, we remember what He did before. And now our peace is increased. There's still room for more. There's still room for growth. Because we may not be like, I have peace, yet Lord, help my unrest. Just to kind of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Right.
Lord, I have joy, but would you help me where I'm sorrowful or scared? Lord, I have peace, but I still have this discontent over here, or there's a lack of quietness. It's kind of like when Peter stepped out of the boat and then began to look around and see the waves. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, oh, look at me. Look at me. If you've ever been around someone who's been injured, they've gone through something and they're freaking out, you just know, look at me. Look. Just look at me right now.
Yeah.
And it can bring that calming, peaceful effect. And that's what Jesus did to Peter. Look at me.
Yeah.
Peace was to be sought and followed by the righteous. We're supposed to seek it.
Mm-hmm.
We seek wisdom. We seek God's face. We're to seek peace. We're to make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And again, I've said this before, it's a work.
Yeah.
Making something is work. Peacemaking. It's not something that just happens. It's something we have to work toward. And making peace racially, interracially, economically, with poverty and with the kids, all these things, it's work. Making requires effort. It requires a plan, materials, and action. And sometimes there's going to be sweat. There's sweat equity. A verse that I used to keep, this is kind of humorous to me, but I had an old Datsun 510. It was a 1972 Datsun 510, red, 4-speed, 1,600 cc's. Oh, it was wonderful. Powerful little car. Fun to drive. Fun to drive. When they first came out, they competed with the BMW. They beat the BMW's tail. It was a car that was cheap with an independent rear suspension. Disc brakes all around. In 1972. And I used to run that thing all over Las Vegas. I got a ticket for doing about 125 and a 45 and that little thing. It was great. Yeah. And then when I started going to church, I went to the Christian bookstore and I saw this little sticker. It was a brass engraved sticker. And I bought it and put it on the dashboard to try to help calm me down. And it was the King James Version, and from Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We have to think. What you trying to do to me? Think. Sorry. thinking about Aretha. We have to think. Philippians talks about that.
Yes.
What do we think about? What's going on in the gray matter? What are we thinking about? He will keep him in perfect peace. He'll keep us in perfect peace when our minds are set on him, when we're thinking about him. When he says, look at me, we can be at peace. Perfect peace. And real quick, Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So we have to have joy, abounding joy, always, in God, in the Lord. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Well, first I got to get one of those. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the thing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we are anxious for nothing, if when he says, look at me, and we begin to pray and seek him and keep our mind on him, even though we're tempted to look away and those that stuff keeps on creeping in, the closer it gets, the more it creeps in, the less sleep you get, the more you think, I'm going to be asleep for a few hours as they cut into my body. The more you think about, I've got a car that's completely torn apart in the parking lot at the apartment complex, and this sucker dog ain't working for me. How am I going to get this done? Especially with the rain coming. I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is set on me. Be anxious for no thing.
Right.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. All understand. How can you be at peace with this? How can you be in this condition of, it's almost like you're aloof, you don't care, you're just, wake up, are you being stupid? Are you dumb? Don't you see what's happening? Oh yeah, I can see. Stephen, just there, wasn't crying and saying, stop, leave me alone. He was taking it. Perfect peace that surpasses understanding, that surpasses all comprehension. It's abounding peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there. There's things that I can have peace about. But it's a journey. It's taking steps. It's moving forward. It's listening to his voice. And when he says, look at me, we fix our eyes on him.
Yes.
We're going to look away. That's human nature. We're going to, at times, be hit with something that is overwhelming, that we can't control. And he's going to say, look at me. No, I don't want to. I'll handle this myself. Look at me. I will keep you in perfect peace. If you look at me. Perfect peace. If you look at me. You won't understand this peace when you see the trouble. So don't look at the trouble. Don't look at that. Yeah, we face it. We don't ignore it. But we don't let that become our focus, to where we become anxious over it. As you work on selling the condo, we don't become anxious for that stuff. How's it going to work out? The Lord's been faithful already with one house and a pontoon boat that had some...
One day.
That had some problems. Yeah, in one day. So maybe working yourself up for nothing, he takes care of it. How many times do we get to that place where we work ourselves up?
Yeah.
And then, wasn't so bad. Because we look to the Lord. Say, Lord,
that's right.
You're going to have to do this. So, Father, I just ask that you would put us in place. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, we are the sheep of your pasture. So would you lead us beside those still waters?
Yeah.
Help us to see you as Stephen did. Even as we choose to live out your word the best that we can. Can we aspire to be someone like Stephen who was willing, who didn't turn away from sharing your word? And even when he was met with opposition, violent opposition, he still looked to you and had peace and was still able to say, forgive them. Just like you would forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Help us to greet one another with that shalom. That we would bless one another with shalom to say, may you fare well, may you go well, may you see peace in your health, in your relationships, peace in your finances. May you see this great peace that comes from the hand of God in each and every part of your life. That's how I greet you all today, to say shalom. Lord. And one last thought that I just had. In the Bible, there's a city that's talked about. And we all know the city. We've seen pictures of it. Maybe some of us have been there. I don't know. But it means city of peace. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem. It means city of peace. It's God's city of peace, Jerusalem. And it hasn't looked like it's a city of peace for a long time, if ever. But that's still its name. It's still called the city of peace, Jerusalem. And there's going to be a new one day. And it's really going to take on that. If you see peace. When Jesus comes down and sets his feet once again on the Mount of Olives and it's broken. And you see it on the throne. Google it. And you see peace. Right now he's the prince. But he's going to be seen as the great King Jesus. His peace.
When you started this morning, Keith, one of your comments was that I'm beautifully made. And as I was thinking about that, probably no truth is more seriously fought against by the enemy.
Correct.
To really believe, and I think we all have a real issue with thinking that we're beautifully made.
Right.
You know, and I think the enemy uses all kinds of things, whether it's just our physical appearance or our abilities or whatever it is, or even our character, and at the end it assails that. And so then when we sang the song, there's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love. And hearing your love, to me, just said, wow, that's the place we all want to be, but it's a place of dwelling. But in our lack of peace culture, dwelling in his presence is the thing that really is hard. Of course, it's the one thing that we need more of. And I'm just reading, almost finished a book called Soul Space. And this author had to get off what he calls the gerbil wheel because he was going crazy and it was destroying their family. and deliberately cultivating a place where our soul can be at peace is just a really incredible thing. And I think it's when we're there, only there, in that place of knowing our mind is stayed on Him, and that's when the perfect peace comes. But it's only there that we have the wherewithal and the arms, I guess, to fight against the lies of the enemy that say, you're trash, you're nothing, you're whatever, all the lies that we all have to confront.
Yeah.
And then that beautiful image at the end of this passage in Acts chapter 6, where just before He died, God in His faithfulness said one more time, look at Me, and He rolled back heaven, and He saw the Father and Jesus standing at His right hand. He's like, all right, just watch Me, because you're coming to Me soon. But that beautiful picture of, wow, there He was, fixated in there, not on the stones, not on the hatred of the men around Him, but just there's the Father in the very last moment of His life saying, I'm waiting for you, I'm right here, and I've not moved. So, yeah, wonderful. Wonderful image of peace. Thanks so much for sharing that.
There's a verse